This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, September 9th, 2020, The Votive Mass of Christ the High Priest, by Father William Doc Holliday.
By a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ is, as it said in the prayer of this evening, the collect that opened the liturgy, he is our supreme and eternal high priest. He is supreme in that priests throughout all eternity, those established by God, were there to offer sacrifices to the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ not only offered sacrifice, he was the sacrifice. This is why he is the supreme priest, because that's what priests do. They offer sacrifice for the people. The New Testament priesthood, the one our Lord Jesus Christ established, speaks in the name of this supreme priest. They speak not only in his name, but they speak with his authority. We should expect something from our priests. And I'm always harping on where priests fall short in our day, and I count myself among them. But tonight I want to speak more of the foundation in this votive mass for our Lord Jesus Christ, the supreme high priest. We lose sight of the foundational joy, the foundational zeal that we should have for being Catholics because of what we have in the Catholic priesthood. The Catholic priesthood is different than that claimed by any other Christian body. The closest you would come to it that might claim are High Church Anglicans who claim that they are a branch of the Catholic Church, but the other two branches of the Catholic Church, the Western and the Eastern churches, deny that out of hand. They don't have a priesthood, hence they cannot believe in what they receive as a transubstantiated bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior, because they have no priesthood to do it. No matter how much incense they may use, no matter how pretty it may look, no matter how it will sound, it comes down to the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He established his church on the back of Peter, none other, not a church, not the church, his church. Because when he established that church, he established no other, and then he ascended into heaven to take his position at the right hand of God, as it said in our first reading today, where he acts as our supreme high priest to this very moment. This is why when a priest confesses the Blessed Sacrament at the altar, he doesn't repeat the words of Jesus. He speaks the words of Jesus. This is my body. We don't say this is the body of Jesus Christ that was given up for you. This is my body. When you see a priest say that as he celebrates the holy sacrifice of the Mass, you have to have in the back of your mind that when he says that, not only do you hear Jesus Christ say the words of the institution of the supper, but you also, this should be something you should expect of your priests, is when they say those words, they should mean themselves also. When they say, this is my body, there ought to be another level of that, a level that is tremendously subordinate to the level of this is my body in the confecting of the sacrament in which we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. But nonetheless, you should look at that man who's standing up there who says those words, and he should mean those words also for himself. This is my body, which is given up for you. Priests give up their lives. We have a young man that's going to leave tomorrow for seminary, and to understand that this young man who He's got everything in the face of this planet going for him. He's got a tremendously faithful family. He has got a good education. He is personable. He is outward. He is a great guy. And he's giving it up for the priesthood. He's not giving up his family. Well, yeah, he really is. He ain't really, because he didn't know where his bishop may send him if his vocation holds throughout his seminary career. He is giving up himself. And when he says, this is my body, he should be thinking, and people that are watching him should be thinking that also, that he is emulating our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when our Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper, it wasn't just a matter of instituting the Eucharist. He also instituted the New Testament priesthood. So he looks at those gathered and say, do this in remembrance of me. Not remembrance as in cognitive recall, but in remembrance as in the Greek representation. Represent what I'm doing right now. These are the words of the priesthood. So our Lord, in his supreme priesthood, he continues to give of himself even at this very moment. We do not or ought not look at Jesus Christ as a past tense historical thing. Okay, his institution of the sacraments, who he was, what he said, what he did. It goes on right now. It is timeless. We talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. The barriers of time and space go away. This is why he instituted the Eucharist. That people who are here in the 21st century, who weren't anywhere near being or thought about 2,100 years ago, can still be at Calvary. And his sacrifice be applied directly and objectively to us, that we may receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity. This Eucharist brings things forward. This New Testament priesthood that I said, you look at that, it continues. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is eternal, we're not. There have been some gloriously saintly, phenomenally gifted priests throughout history. St. Dominic, St. John Vianney, St. Padre Pio, they were glorious men. Where are they now? They're in heaven with God, but they're not here anymore because they were not eternal. Okay? God's priesthood is eternal in a sense that it will be here until he comes back. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it better not, because no priesthood, no Eucharist, no God, no body, blood, soul, and divinity. And he ascended into heaven, he sends us his Holy Spirit. So this constant giving of the supreme high priest, the eternal giving of the supreme high priest that never goes away. Again, this would be such a source of comfort and such a source of elation for us as being a Catholic. Because we know it's always going to be there. You know, like you said, priests aren't eternal. Well, you're a priest. It's easy for you to say, yeah, right. And I know that, you know, I'm getting, you know, older and older. And there's going to come a time when I can't stand up here anymore. And I got to rely on these young guys who are going to seminary now to act in the stead of my Lord Jesus Christ when I can't do it anymore because I'm not eternal. It is a great sense of joy to see young men like are leaving tomorrow. Go to these seminaries, solid seminaries, where they're going to learn to be good Catholic priests. Okay, this is something that is a source of elation for me. So our Lord Jesus, his sacrifice of himself really didn't stop, because the men he calls to himself to be priests, they continue that sacrifice right in front of our face, or should. They should not be looked upon as the chief executive officer of some particular parish. They should not be looked upon as some social workers. They should be looked upon as the ones who speak for our Lord Jesus Christ and offer his sacrifice over and over and over again until they have no more life in them, and then it gets passed on. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, the supreme high priest. He can do this because he entered into heaven on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 9, Jesus entered heaven itself that he may appear now in the presence of God for us. That's a function of a priest. to not only offer sacrifice to God for the people, but to offer their intercessions for the people also. Scriptures teach that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Well, he's up in heaven right now, so he needs somebody else to do that for him while he's up there and we're down here, and that's the New Testament priesthood. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks directly to the Father for us. My prayers are frail. It doesn't say in the Scriptures, you don't know how to pray. The priests do. It doesn't qualify there. It just says, you don't know how to pray. And that would include your priests. We try our best, but we don't know how. So the Holy Spirit groans within us. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has ascended into heaven. And as the Roman Catechism says, with the Father, his influence and authority are supreme. So if the priests down here are doing what they're supposed to do, and even if their frail prayers are being offered up through our Lord Jesus Christ and his authority, we know that the Father is going to answer not because of you, not because of me, because of him. All we have to do is remain faithful. This is what we need to understand about our Lord Jesus Christ, the supreme high priest, because when our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, our Lord, when he's hanging on the cross, it is finished. His passion was finished, but his ministry wasn't finished. Our Lord Jesus Christ spent 3 days in the tomb. He went into the confines of hell and brought the souls out of that place and ushered them into heaven, those who'd been faithful before his sacrifice. He threw open the gates of heaven for us. Not just people past and in his present, but people in the future. This is what is talked about in John chapter 14 when our Lord Jesus Christ says, I go to prepare a place for you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. It doesn't mean he's making up a bed for us up there, okay? Or he's got some kind of construction crew putting a house together for you up there. And everybody likes it because even in that passage in the older versions, you know, there are many mansions. Actually, the Greek is, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. You're not going to be three down and four to the right of Jesus. You're going to be living in the Father's house. This is what he means. I go to prepare a place for you. He's not talking about a locale. He's talking about interceding with the Father that your soul may be prepared for the judgment that you can enter his house. This is the place he prepared for you. That place is in you right now. That place is your soul where the Holy Spirit indwells as a result of your baptism. This is what we have to appreciate and understand about the New Testament priesthood. It is not your priest in the parish. It is Jesus Christ whom they reflect. And you hear this Latin term, in persona Christi. Okay, in persona Christi means that I and every other Catholic priest walking the face of this planet, we ought to be just like these stained glass windows, except in three dimensions. That's it. We should just be a living and breathing statue of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you should expect from your priests. Again, you should expect, unfortunately, so much more than most people expect of their priests now. And it's not their fault because they haven't been told any better. They do look at their priest as the administrator of their parish. Okay? Administration of your parish is an important thing, but you know what? If you're doing what you're supposed to do, it should be ancillary. Your priest, you should be at the altar and in the confessional more times than in meetings. That's all there is to it. No matter how busy you get, it should not encroach on your prayer life. And it does get busy. So what do? You make your prayer life your entire day. You make your prayer life in your meetings. You might not be hearing it, but a priest should always be going through his mind, offering up what's going on in front of him to the Lord. This is what you should expect of your priests. You should expect to act like our Lord. Oh, we're all frail. We're all fallible. We're all sinners. Yes, true. Because of your vocation, priest, you ought to be better than everybody else. And it's not because you are innately better than them, but you have been called and gifted by that power of the Holy Spirit that has been given you by the laying out of hands. in your ordination. You are different. I despise, it makes me sick to my stomach when I see priests at gatherings who don't wear their clericals. I don't just want to relate because I'm just one of the boys. No, you're not. No, you are not. You should be nothing like them anymore because you're a priest, and they should look at you for that. When they come to gatherings, they shouldn't want to look at you as one of the boys. They should be looking at you as their priest, even then, because you are their priest all the time. This is because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us in the establishment of the priesthood. So he is the foundation. He is the one whom the priest not just emulates, but represents, as I said, as a living and breathing statue. It should be that close. This is the New Testament priesthood. And when we understand that, like I said before, it should be such a sense of comfort and solace to know that no matter what's going on out there, even no matter what's going on in the church herself, if priests are doing what they're supposed to be doing, there should be a place where you can go to find refuge, just as you should when you think about what you receive in the Eucharist, just the way you think about what you're going to receive when you get to heaven. This is what the church is here, a little tiny piece of heaven. And up in heaven, there is our Lord Jesus Christ. And in these little pieces of heaven down here, he has placed himself in the persons of his priests. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.